You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Hope that you had a great week. Today, a new documentary airs on HBO Max. I want you to check it out. It's called What Happened, Brittany Murphy. I'm sure that you guys remember Brittany Murphy from Clueless and a bunch of other great movies. Well, in 2009, she died in her Hollywood Hills home at only 32 years old. And then 5 months later, her husband, Simon, was also found dead on the property. So since then, the mysteries continue to surround their shocking deaths, and their former home has become a key player in this strange story too. So they bought the home in October of 2003. They buy it fully furnished from Britney Spears, who also claimed weird stuff happened in the house. They lived in the home for just under 6 years, and she lived with Simon, as mentioned, whom she married in 2007. By the way, a really weird guy, older, British, and never made sense when you saw them together. Well, before she took her last breath in the main bathroom on the morning of December 20th, 2009, the Los Angeles Fire Department responded to a 911 call from her mother, who lived with the couple, which is also super strange, at 8 a.m. when the Clueless star collapsed after experiencing flu-like symptoms for a few days. And then she was taken to the hospital and she was pronounced dead. Well, in February of 2010, the L.A. County Coroner concluded that her death was the result of untreated pneumonia combined with anemia and drug intoxication from prescription and over-the-counter medications, including painkiller and cold medicine. So no illegal drugs, but just a lot of medication. So then, May of 2010, her mom, who again was living with them and apparently had a romantic relationship with her husband, found him unresponsive. And the fire department was called to the residence for a medical emergency. And they determined acute pneumonia and severe anemia as the causes of his death. He claimed that there was mold. There doesn't seem to any proof there's a correlation. But the weird part is Britney Spears, Simon, and Britney all said that their house was super haunted. She suggested there was a portal in it. And the owners after that had a very hard time selling the property. Now I think it's been knocked down and just something else has been built. But weird, right? So anyway, that's the documentary, What Happened, Brittany Murphy. And you got to watch that on HBO Max. We just saw the Beverly Hills Part 1 reunion, and it's a doozy. And gosh, Erica is coming out guns a-blazing, and it's a mystery why. Because one would think that if you were in that legal predicament, you wouldn't want to be on a reality television show, much less a reunion where every little thing you've done gets picked apart. And it is very odd, the aesthetic change, because it feels like she used to wear these over-the-top militant outfits. And then they've dressed her in this soft pink Barbie dress. I don't know if it's trying to get sympathy. Again, it reminds me of the Menendez trick when the two brothers were accused of murdering their parents. So Leslie Abramson put them in a pale pink and a pale blue sweater to get sympathy. And I'm telling you right now, Mikey Minden or whoever it is, I'm not buying it. So nice try with the satin pink dress, but I still think the whole story is weird. Anyway, 4-part reunion. Part one was great. I love when Dorit said that Lisa got up to hug Garcelle only because she wanted everybody to see her outfit. And you thought to yourself, that's really who these people are. You know what I mean? So this episode, I got a chance to kind of go over some Real Housewives speed questions with a co-host of Bravo's Daily Dish, Megan Segura. So you got to listen for that. But also, I tracked down one of the cast members from 90 Day Fiancé. I've always said I love seasons 2 and 3. And I found the most interesting person that they've ever had on the show. His name's Yamir, and he used to be in a boy band. And he is the sweetest person that ever lived. So this one's a great one. Here we go. 90 Day Fiancé is this American reality TV series on TLC that follows couples who have applied for or received a K-1 visa available uniquely to foreign fiancés of U.S. citizens and therefore have 90 days to marry each other. The show is based on the K-1 visa process. This visa allows the fiancé from a foreign country to travel to the U.S. to live with their prospective American spouse. And the purpose of the K-1 visa is to provide time for the couple to make arrangements and have a marriage ceremony. Each couple is required to sign documents stating their intent to marry as part of the visa process. And if the couple does not marry within that 90 days, the beneficiary must leave the country. So the couple faces language barriers, culture shock, in-laws that probably have preconceived ideas like maybe this person's a mail order bride, and skepticism from friends. I have long said that my favorite seasons of the show are seasons 2 and 3, which had the most interesting couples. These were really couples that were plucked from obscurity, couples who were determined, despite seemingly unsurmountable odds, to marry someone from another country. Listen, you better binge it immediately if you have not. But I'm telling you, seasons 2 and 3 are where it is. So I wanted to tell you about some of the couples in season 2 before I get to the best couple of all. So you had Danielle and Mohammed. Mohammed was 26 and from Tunisia. Danielle was 41 and from Ohio. They meet in an online chat room. They get engaged. Mohammed moves to Ohio. Danielle has 3 teenage daughters and 1 adult son from a previous relationship. Now, Mohammed claimed to have a job, but then she discovered that that was a lie. And then he found out that she wasn't really honest about aspects of her life, including passing bad checks. I know, you're thinking to yourself, this is a romance for the books. And you're right. Justin and Evelyn were seemingly a little bit more normal. He was 34 and from San Jose, and she was 29 from Colombia. And they met at a rugby match in Colombia in 2013, spent 7 days together, and fell deeply in love. So she comes to the U.S., but the problem is basically Justin's family thought she was like a mail order bride. So they had to convince them after the 90 days that this was a love that would be lasting forever. Brett and Daya. Brett was 31 and from this tiny town in Washington. And Daya was from the Philippines. They met on an online dating service. Brett was divorced and had a 6-year-old daughter from his first marriage. And he lived with 2 roommates, older roommates. And that was a whole funny story that kind of unraveled too. Jason and Cassia, probably one of the nuttiest couples. He was 38 from Florida and she was 23 and from Brazil. They met through Facebook. While she had a relationship with Jason's friend, well, so they break up and then they get together. So Cassia, who's very Brazilian, moves to the U.S. to live in Florida with Jason, but also his father. So the 3 of them are living in a house, and Jason and his father ran an eBay business. Then you had Danny and Amy. Such a sweet couple. Danny was 23 and from Norristown, Pennsylvania, and Amy was from Cape Town, South Africa, only 21 years old. And they met in Australia while on a Bible study trip, fell in love, got engaged. When Amy arrived in America, she lived with his brother because she and Danny wanted to be virgins when they wed. But the most interesting part was the way his family had preconceived ideas about anybody from Africa, and having the opportunity to see that unravel on television was way ahead of its time. But perhaps my favorite couple, and I know I've mentioned this before, were Chelsea and Yamir. 25-year-old Chelsea was from Illinois. Galesburg, Illinois, and 28-year-old Ymir was from Nicaragua. And their romance was like one in a teen movie because Chelsea met pop star Ymir in Nicaragua when she attended a concert featuring his boy band Myla Vox. She was in his home country volunteering with the Peace Corps. So she falls deeply in love for the band's lead singer, and they get engaged, much to the dismay of Ymir's boy band manager, who begged her to reconsider taking Ymir to the U.S. So Ymir basically was the John Lennon of Nicaragua and Chelsea his Yoko Ono. He ended up in America on a K-1 visa, and her plan was for Ymir to come and stay with her parents, and the cultural shift from his dangerous neighborhood to her hometown worried her, because he's basically going from Nicaragua and being the lead singer of like their big boy band there to living in the sticks in Illinois. However, Ymir's concern was breaking up with his band and leaving his career behind for his new married life. Her parents accepted him, supported them financially, and the 90-day fiancé couple tied the knot. However, Ymir realized that his wife's town lacked opportunities, so he sent a few demo tapes to producers in Chicago and got a surprisingly positive reaction. He wanted to move to Chicago to set the night on fire, to make his dream happen. He had just left Nicaragua and the boy band, but Chelsea, she saw a different life path and wanted to stay in Illinois. And when I tell you that this couple, I could not stop watching. I was like, you could not even make up these characters in a movie. This is insane. So I've always wondered what happened to Ymir. And then last week, my friend Les Kirkendall shared with me that he had started a new job and was working beside someone that I would enjoy. He's like, Kate, I'm working with Ymir from 90 Day Fiancé. And when I tell you that I screamed like a girl at a concert in a strip mall, I could not believe it. So Ymir so graciously agreed to come on my show and give everyone an update. He is just as kind and adorable as he was on season 2 of 90 Day Fiancé. I cannot wait for you to listen to this interview with Ymir from season 2 of 90 Day Fiancé. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KKC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KKC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/KKC. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. I have been telling people for years that the best season of 90 Day Fiancé was yours. And your story, above all others, has captivated me more than any. I really think your story is what made me love this show. Ymir, I cannot believe that I have tracked you down. How are you?
Very good, Kate. Thank you so much for this opportunity. So excited. And thank you for this introduction. Really, you don't expect that.
I mean, your story was improbable. You're in this Nicaraguan boy band, Myla Vox. How did you meet Chelsea?
Yes, I met her in Nicaragua when she was working in the Peace Corps. She was doing a volunteer in Peace Corps. I met her in a concert, and here starts the whole story.
So how long were you dating before you talked about getting married?
I think it was around 3 years.
You dated for 3 years before you guys got married?
Yes. Oh, wow. Exactly. More or less around, yeah.
So did she go back to the States and it was one of, like you would talk while she was back in the States and you just kept this long distance relationship going?
Yes, she went back to the States and after she found out that we found out that we was in love and we need to stay together and after she back, yeah, to the.
So when you told your family, I've fallen in love with this American girl, but now I think I want to marry her and I want to go. What was their reaction?
Yeah, my mom was watching her tattoos first because my mom is very conservative and okay. But she knew it that what will be my destiny. Yeah. Absolutely. She was impressed because I think I only introduced my mom one girlfriend before her.
Oh, wow.
But after was really cool. Was really cool and amazing chemistry and everything. Yeah. And they understand. They understand how about the tattoo because in Central America we have right now I think it's more open, but we had after a culture about the tattoos and everything about the older people and a little stigma about what's going on. But I think right now it's normal and they understand. Yeah, everything.
So the first time that you get to the United States is when you got the 90-day visa when you showed up. So how did the producers find you? Because you were dating for 3 years and then you were making the leap to get engaged and they followed you in the 90 days before you got married. How did they find you?
Yes. In the process when we was checking for information about the visa K-1 and everything, we were checking in blogs and I think Chelsea wrote, she was looking information with me and she wrote them and they wrote back and we started, yeah, with the first interview with the producer and everything, yeah. But I think it was in a blog.
When you got this opportunity to have your story told on TV, were you nervous at all?
I don't know what mood I had, but for me it was very natural. Mm-hmm. Really, maybe for this reason that people feel into sometimes when I was walking in the street and somebody recognized to me, hey man, you was natural. Maybe for this reason, because I don't try to force nothing, and I absolutely nervous about talking with cameras, with producer. And in my box, we try to be so hermetic about everything because Nicaragua is a small country. We have only 5 million people and we try to be very hermetic with our manager. Everybody knew it that we need to be careful when we drink at the party, when we talk about everything. And after talking in the camera, was a little bit out my, you know, my space, my control and I don't was ready, but I try to be natural. I don't know when, and I talk with no idea with no expectation.
Before you get to the United States, we see you having conversations with the manager of your band that I could never forget. I felt like you were John Lennon and she was Yoko Ono. Like they did not want you to leave the band. How hard was that for you to leave?
No, it was really hard because they was my friend, you know, and not only my friends, my brothers. I want to say that. And Gabriel, you say he is, but at this time, he was a mentor, manager, friend, and it was a really hard, you know, have this confrontation. But I know we'll say that she was a Yoko Ono, the group. I think we was broke before. Mm-hmm. Everybody want to do different kind of things. One of my friends, he told me, brother, I am tired about the music. I want to work in the bank. I mean, really? No, yes, I want to go 9 to 5. I am tired about the music. This, and I I realized that everybody want to do different kind of dreams. Another of my friends, he told me, I want to go to school. I want to back to school, you know, because this career is consuming me a lot, and I want to back to school, and I want to develop my family, and I want to be, you know, more calm down. And okay, for the reason I don't want to say that she was a Yoko Ono. And also me, I was trying to make an evolution in my life. Mm-hmm. And I think my looks was okay. This is a part of my life for the rest of my life, but I need to move on. And maybe it helps a lot everybody for doing the right decision.
Once you got to the United States and you started to get acclimated, you started to get used to it, you were living in her parents' house. Did you ever have a moment when you were laying in bed at night and think, what have I done? Like this, I made a mistake.
Absolutely, yeah, because this is the life sometimes. And I want to say young. But I was completely understanding that was my choice, that I was happy at this time in the relationship. And I don't regret, really. I don't remember regretting nothing about, but always, you know, we have some insecurity sometimes. Okay, what's going in my life if I stay there? I know here I will start in zero. I want to say Nicaragua is no a big country and no a big market for the music, but I have my little prestige, I want to say that. Okay, and here I need to start in zero. What's happened? But a lot of things was going and I knew with different places, absolutely having a really good time with her family. And I don't remember a big regret or something like that.
When they had you, or when you went to go meet with a record producer in Chicago, it sounded like they had no idea what they were doing. When you look back at that meeting, did it frustrate you? Did you feel like, oh my God, how am I going to find somebody who understands the Latin market?
Yeah, I was a little bit confused because what's going on?
Yeah.
I am in a completely planet here. But I think in same way was an amazing experience. An amazing experience, yeah, because I was in Chicago. I remember the first time checking the skylight. And I don't know. I don't have nothing for complain about this episode, when I say, but was a little confused. Yeah.
How many times did you get recognized after the show aired?
No, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I was traveling. I remember that I was driving because I am living right now in LA. And when I was in Iowa, I didn't know Omaha.
Okay.
I was in a come and go, I think.
It's like a convenience store.
Yeah, exactly. And the catcher, she told me, hey, what's up? Are you Yamir from 90 Day Fiancé? Everywhere here in LA, and I really enjoy in Walmart when I'm going Walmart, when I'm going Aldi's, and the people always are so friendly with me. I want to say somebody is hearing right now the podcast, don't feel shy to say hello to me. I really enjoy get this energy.
Well, that's because you guys were part of the first few seasons where we feel like it was these, you know, they were real love stories. And it was like a docufollow where we were seeing your real life. But ultimately, it didn't work out with Chelsea.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is the life, and some situation working, another situation doesn't work. But I don't want to regret. It was a really good experience. It's part of my life. It's part of my life for the rest of my life. And yes, and I so sad sometimes. Things don't work, but so happy because I am so happy that the situation doesn't work because I have possibility for restart my life. She has possibility for start her life and doing things that we don't was in the good place. And right now I think everybody's happy and yeah.
So no regrets for doing the show. You still get recognized.
Yeah.
Do you still play music, sing?
Yeah, I still play music. I still producing, working also for, for video games. We start making music, producers.
Do you stay in touch with anybody else from the show?
I don't remember, but last talk that I had with somebody for the show was, I think, Mohammed.
What did you think of Mohammed?
I think he's a very polite. He's one of the most smartest guys that I meet in the show, the cast. He's very smart. He's very polite. I don't know what the people said, and I don't care. I only think in my perception. But mm-hmm.
Do you still watch the show? Did you watch the show at all after you aired?
I watched a couple of episodes. After, no, because I was like this feeling. I like this feeling that I don't want to watch myself.
Right.
I wanna go out. I don't want to remember my past for a little bit.
Yeah.
But yes, I watch a show and I it's funny sometimes because it's remembering me few episodes, you know, working with the crew. I know how it's going on in the back.
What do you think of how the show has changed? Do you miss the older seasons, like the ones that you participated in?
Yes. I think, I don't know, it's absolutely understanding that it's a business. It's a business, and they need to bring, fire too. But about our cast, in my time, our former cast member, I see I see more real, you know? I see like a more...
Do you feel like the people that participated in the earlier years, your seasons, were more real?
Yeah, more real. I don't want to talk bad about everybody, and I respect, you know, everybody have different kind of position and everybody know what they need to do. But I feel like Adaya, Brad, Amy, Mohammed and Danielle was like more natural, you know, more I think in my perception, they don't was looking something. They was only putting everything on TV and was a real reality show.
Right.
I don't know. Right now I feel it's I want to be famous. I want to do
right.
that because I have one agenda and I know 90 Day Fiancé. It's a really good platform for me doing this for that.
Too bad you didn't have Instagram when you were on your season. Right?
No, yeah. No, yes. I had an Instagram, but I don't. This maybe was because I used my Instagram, but I was so busy living my life.
Right. So are you single, married? Do you have children?
No, yes. I don't have children. I have a girlfriend and yes.
Does she know that you were on 90 Day Fiancé?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Cool. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She know everything about. Yeah. And she was the show too.
Oh, does she watch the show with you?
Yeah, no. Yeah. She was the show. For the reason I started watching the show, because me, I try to be outside to the everything, but okay. What's happening? Yeah.
I'm so glad you're doing well. I never forgot your story and I still look back at those scenes and you have always been so sweet and authentic. And for that, I'm so glad that you're doing well. And if everybody wants to follow you, Yamir Music everywhere.
No, No, thanks you for giving me this introduction, for giving me this opportunity, for expose me, for expose the music, for expose everything, and updating so many people that sometimes are asking me, what's going on with your life? What's happened? Where you will back? Where you can you have possibility for back to the show? And I think it will be amazing talk, giving an update about everything that is happening in my life. Yeah. Thanks a lot for it.
Okay. As we go out, do you want to sing us a little something?
Okay. Dice que siente tanto frío al despertar. Él no te besa, él no siente nada. Yo sé que tú ya no lo quieres y la vida no se detiene. No tengas miedo, solo déjame entrar. Y mi corazón se acelera besándote entera. Y mi corazón se acelera cuando mueve tus caderas. Y mi corazón se acelera besándote entera. Sé que tu corazón se acelera. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Megan from Daily Dish, I've just got a speed round of questions for you about a few Bravo shows. Are you ready for it?
Let's do it.
Okay, Real Housewives of Potomac, what is the deal between Candace and Mia? Why do you think Candace was so angered by her that she would throw a handful of lettuce? What's the real reason behind the hatred?
I just think that Candace doesn't like anyone coming for her. And especially, I think she can't handle it from a first seasoner.
Mm, okay. And what do you think about Mia's husband, Gordon? Do you think that he's made for TV, or do you think he needs to sit down and let his wife take the lead?
Oh my God, both. I mean, he definitely is someone I want to hang out with, I think, but would like an exit strategy in case it goes left.
What did you think of the house that they stayed at this go around on the Eastern Shore? How does that compare to the one in Williamsburg?
Good question. I just know that I would have also been upset if I was Giselle and Robin to not get even an adjoining bathroom. Not good.
I felt like the architecture really troubled me deeply. It reminded me of the ranch houses in Hershey, Pennsylvania, where I went to school, because they're like brick buildings with weird small windows, and the rooms are dark and cold. And the way that they asked them to sleep in small attic-y rooms with twin beds troubled me deeply. And I would think that for a group of women that are in need of someone to carry up luggage up to their room, this was unsettling for them.
My co-host Eric said that the rooms reminded him of an orphanage that you might see in a movie.
Absolutely. Well, that's what I said. It reminds me of the Milton Hershey School where I went to boarding school. Absolutely. Are you proud of Eddie for coming to this weekend? Given the rumors that were swirling during filming, do you appreciate the fact that he showed up, or do you think this was part of his strategy to mitigate stories about possibly having, you know, another family?
I think both. Even though I don't think the rumors are true, I think that you still have to do damage control when something like that comes out. But at the same time, I think he loves his wife. I think Wendy calls the shots as seen by those matching outfits she makes them wear. So, I just think he's a good husband.
And what are your feelings about couples that wear matching outfits? Does it remind you of the junior prom? What are your feelings?
It reminds me of going to Disney World and you're do all of you have matching t-shirts?
And fanny packs.
Yeah.
At the end of the episode, we see Giselle and Karen engaging in joyful conversation, or at least it seemed. Do you like these two more when they're getting along or when they're throwing digs at one another?
I can take 5 minutes of them getting along and then I want the digs back.
Right, exactly. Okay, Salt Lake City. When you see scenes between Stuart and Jen, does it rattle you to your core?
I laugh because I was saying the other day, like I just feel like Stu gives really good advice. Like he's the Jen whisperer and he seems so level-headed and great. So but then I say that out loud and I'm like, I feel like I should reserve that opinion.
Well, I mean, the story that we're being presented is that he's a lovely assistant who is there for her. He's almost like Mrs. Garrett from Facts of Life, where he's there to just calm her and to help bridge the gap between the others. It seems like some of the scenes, I'm like, is this out of sequence? Because we're presented in the beginning of the season with evidence that Meredith is at her last, you know, is at her last rope with Jen because of the tweets. But then they're ice fishing and then they seem to get along. And then they go to meet someplace in Park City and they have this nice conversation, Brooks and Jen, and that all is well. And then I'm anticipating the next episode is going to be they're at each other's throats again. Do you feel like something's maybe out of sequence too?
I don't, but I see where you're coming from. I think that I, you know, have watched a bit ahead and I just think that it actually stays pretty calm for a bit.
Ah, okay, good.
Yeah.
Whitney and Lisa, these two, is there hope for them to ever have a friendship?
It's weird how much Whitney wants to be friends with Lisa despite not liking her, which I think Mary made a great point in the last episode where she was like, she clearly needs Lisa's validation. Lisa is the cool girl in her eyes and she just wants to be her friend. And Lisa is not a nurturing person, which I don't think is an insult. It's just a fact of her personality. Mm-hmm. And on Vanderpump Rules, like Lala was saying to Raquel, oh, you just need to be babied more. And I feel like that's the case in this situation. Lisa just needs to baby Whitney a little more.
Ugh, but that's exhausting. You know what I mean? Yeah. She's got enough on her plate. I just think they're fundamentally two different people. And if they leaned into that, boy, you are weird in your own way and I'm weird in my own way. And let's just have a good laugh. They would be much better off. Sometimes you don't have to find commonality. You just have to lean into the fact that you're totally different people that exist on different planets. However, you still are in the same universe. And for that, you know, all will be well in the world. So, okay, Angie, do you wish that she was a full-time housewife?
Kind of. I mean, too. We got so much of her and then we got nothing. And do you see the Sarah Paulson resemblance?
I think she's Sarah Paulson, but with a twinkle of Christina Applegate in her.
Ah, interesting. Mm. I have to look again now. But yeah, I'm very intrigued by her.
I also like the outfits that she's bringing to the table. Because Meredith is chic, but then sometimes walks into a room looking like an ostrich and you're just confused because it's like paired with like leather. And it doesn't always make sense. And sometimes when you flip through Vogue and you go, who in God's name would wear that? It's a little bit of that. You know, right. She's bringing that, but I feel like Angie pulls the look together. And I think that the way that she puts Lisa and Whitney into an even more uncomfortable situation is enjoyable TV watching. But I think that the show needs somebody like Jenny, because in Utah, everybody looks the same, right? And so it's kind of nice to see somebody who has a totally different culture and look. So I'm going to say, I wish that maybe they were both housewives, but I understand why Jenny is more of a housewife than Angie.
Well, and her personal story is so riveting to me. Mm-hmm. Again, just the more episodes I watch ahead, I'm like, oh my God, I just can't get over how open she and her husband have been. And I think that's a really hard thing to do. And they do it so well.
I was unsettled by the way that he keeps pushing for more children. And she,
oh, absolutely. And she but he's so real about it.
But she posted that she's asking us all to give him some grace. And so I will do that for a couple episodes.
Right.
I'm going to give it for a couple episodes because I don't know how this is all going to play out, but I will give it to him. But I will say it was very unsettling the first couple episodes.
Yeah.
Heather, the way that she's talking to her daughter about sex, the way she's eager for her to go to college outside of Utah. Do you salute that?
Yes. I just love that we're seeing this complete journey from you should always, you know, abstinence only to being like, oh my God, I'd be horrified if they didn't have sex before marriage. But also just being so honest and that she doesn't know how to even broach that subject. It just, you know, you're a mom. I'm not, but so it gives me a deeper understanding of this idea that like parents are just people really, you know, and they have to figure it out too.
I thought about that scene too. I was actually driving thinking about that because you really don't know until you have kids. And I haven't had been at that point yet, but I have had period talks.
Yeah.
And I was amused and horrified by the way that I actually ended up delivering that information because it wasn't the soft and sweet, like there comes a time in your life where this happens and be prepared. It was more like, you're going to be bleeding from your vagina once a month. And that's just the way it is. And my daughter, my son was in the backseat. He goes, wait, what did you just say? And it was like, it is what it is, lady. So, I understood that scene and how uncomfortable she would be because you never really envision yourself in that predicament until it happens.
Right.
And I always admire and respect the way that Heather is so open about how she's still conflicted about the way that she was brought up and in a wonderful family, but that doesn't necessarily feel like she holds those values the same. And wants her kids to have a new direction. So I always like that. I like this season. I like it a lot more than the first season because I feel like each woman has a much deeper and richer story, but most importantly, that their connections seem much more realistic and deep. I wondered if you felt the same.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's one of those things where the reality is they are on a show together. How many people can say they've been real housewives? Correct. I think that at the end of the day, going through this together, being first time, you know, starting a new franchise together, it does solidify things off camera too. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I just like that we're watching how each of their relationships are sort of taking these twists and turns.
So you've had the great privilege of having a window ahead of time into the reunion for Beverly Hills. Mm. 1 to 10, 10 being a little bit of urine is released from your bladder. Where are we on that scale while we're watching? Are we gripping the couch? Are we gripping a glass of wine? Does the glass of wine break in our hands and we are left with bloodied skin? Like what? How are you feeling about this and how will we feel?
So I was watching the taping of it and, you know, so I was like hours on end in my room watching as it was all unfolding. And I've only watched the first two parts. So I still am curious to see how, what they'll include, what they won't. I felt like the stuff with Erica is, it delivers and that we're getting a lot of it. You know, even in part one, like they're addressing things. Part two, they're addressing things. And then there's going to be even more and more. And her attitude and how she doubles down on things is, well, it's surprising or not based on how you feel about her this season.
And the other women, are they exasperated by so much coverage about her and her story? Do you get the sense that they're eager to tell their own stories and sort of exhausted by her story being so central to this season?
I wonder if they're just happy to have a break, honestly. You know, I mean, going into the reunion, knowing she's the one that's in the hot seat, that's got to feel a little bit like a relief, I think.
And when you're watching and you say you're watching from a box, are you having snacks? Are you, is it like one of those windows in a car where you can, or like an interrogation room where they can't see you, but you can see them? Give me the layout.
So when we were doing more in-person things, I would, you know, fly to LA and I would be in the studio and they would sort of set up chairs and stuff. So you could, you're watching on a monitor usually, but sometimes you can see the stage too, depending on the layout of where it is. And you're just eating craft service all day,
delicious.
You know, which is amazing because it's always these things that you never would buy for yourself, but of course enjoy, like Gushers. Like, when else do you have the opportunity to eat those? But now that they've been more limited due to COVID, it's really just me watching over Zoom.
And were there parts of this where you would look at the wall or a plant and say out loud, oh God, that's going to leave a mark, or oh my God, that's going to be the moment?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, the things that made it into the reunion super, I mean, Andy and Erica, I was like, oh God, this is good. You know, I was very excited.
And the last question, Andy, do you think this is a different version of a reunion host that we've ever seen in the history of Real Housewives reunions? Is this going to have a different look? Because obviously the circumstances are different, but it seems like from the trailer that he really pushes her to answer some questions. Do we see him as a different kind of host in these four parts?
You know, I think it's similar to what we saw from him in the last Real Housewives of Orange County reunion when he was dealing with Kelly Dodd, where I felt like he knows he has a responsibility to the fans to really get into the nitty-gritty of what people are upset about. And with Erica, I'm sure that's even harder considering the legalities of it, but also the victims. And I think that he does a great job of knowing that even though his job for the most part is this very light, fun thing, he does have a responsibility to ask those questions that the viewers can't, you know, even though they're yelling through their screens, you know. And I think he does a good job of balancing that.
Excellent. Okay, great. Well, tell everybody where they can listen to your fantastic podcast.
Yeah, the Bravo's Daily Dish podcast. You can find new episodes every Saturday and it's everywhere you listen to podcasts.
Thank you so much, Meg. My sister and I are the original Meghan and Kate. We are the second Meghan and Kate of the world. Who needs Kate Middleton and Meghan Markle when you have us?
Right, exactly.
I want to thank my guests, Ymir and Meghan, and remind you to subscribe to the show, leave a 5-star review, jump in the Facebook group, Reality Life with Kate Casey. Follow me on Twitter at Kate Casey. My Instagram is at Kate Casey CA. Check out what I'm watching all week and upcoming guests. You need to subscribe to the newsletter. People write me DMs all the time. Where's your list? You've got to subscribe to the newsletter. Go to katecasey.substack.com. You will get that in your email box every Monday. You don't want to miss it. It's a list of what you need to watch this week. You can find me on TikTok at It's Kate Casey. And my Patreon, you don't want to miss it. You want to jump in. I've got a lot of anecdotes, true crime, aristocracy stories, Gabby Petito readings with Jonathan Mark. Also, we're going to do one today about the Brittany Murphy case. So make sure you check it out. Hoping that you have a great week. And next week, I have my friend Dave Quinn on, who just published a book out October 19th, pre-sale right now. Go get it. It's an oral history of The Real Housewives, 500 pages, friends. And he's my guest next week. So make sure you check back and again, subscribe to the show.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.